Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. The Republican-led House Oversight Committee today received new documents in connection with the Jeffrey Epstein case, including a copy of the alleged birthday book. It contains a one-page letter with a drawing of a woman's body and what appears to be Donald Trump's signature. Now the administration is responding.
The deputy chief of staff at the White House is posting on X, a post that's been then retweeted by the White House account. He's saying, Taylor Brudewich is saying that that's not his signature and saying that it's defamation. He's posting a number of photos of other photos of Trump's signature, claiming that those don't add up to the signature that is on this page released by the oversight House Oversight Democrats.
ABC's Catherine Falders. Israel's military put parts of the West Bank on lockdown today after a shooting at a bus stop left six people dead in Jerusalem. The two attackers were killed in the incident. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers began circulating legislation aimed at eliminating state income tax on overtime earnings last week. The proposed bill would create a state income tax subtraction for overtime earnings. State Senator Rob Hutton, one of the co-authors of the legislation, says the legislation would more closely align Wisconsin's income tax code with the updated federal income tax code. The state lawmakers also say the legislation will allow workers to keep more of what they've earned and support employers across multiple sectors. A federal judge has ruled that new Wisconsin regulations targeting vape devices can remain in place. The regulations ban the sale of any electronic vaping device that is not listed in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue's directory. A coalition of vape shops filed the lawsuit prior to when the regulations went into effect on September 1st. On Friday, a federal judge ruled against temporarily blocking the regulations, noting in his decision that the vape distributors had 19 months to challenge the 2023 law that made the new regulations possible. Ashland area residents are being invited to participate in the local Walk to End Alzheimer's event. The walk will take place on September 20th at Central Rail Yard Park in Ashland. The goal is to raise awareness about how the incurable disease affects both the individuals and the families who care for them. Donations are not required to attend the event, but the funding raised will go towards Alzheimer's care and research. According to the Alzheimer's Association, there are over 110,000 Wisconsin residents with Alzheimer's. Superior Public Library officials are warning area residents of an upcoming parking lot construction project. The project will see the resurfacing of the library's front parking lot, which will require the parking lot to close from Tuesday through October 15th. Residents will still be able to use the north lot along Belknap Street or use available on-street parking along North 16th Street and Ogden Avenue. Funding for the resurfacing project comes from the library's Capital Improvement Fund, with additional support from the City of Superior's Stormwater Fund. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers in the Lone Star State tonight, opening a three-game series against the Texas Rangers. Milwaukee with a 10-2 win over the Pirates yesterday in Pittsburgh, completing a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says that 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski learned a few lessons pitching into the seventh inning.
I can only tell you this is a great learning experience for him, and he answered the bell today and did a very, very nice job.
College football, the Badgers now preparing to play number 19th-ranked Alabama. It's Wisconsin beating Middle Tennessee State 42-10 over the weekend. The Packers celebrating a decisive 27-13 win over the Lions. Matt LaFleur grateful to the 77,000 fans who attended, but didn't like there were so many Lions fans in the stands.
The fans that showed up brought great energy, and the fans that sold their tickets to all those Lions fans got to be better.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. A low tonight close to 60, high low 70s tomorrow. Highs climb up into the 80s by the later part of the week. It's 74 right now.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer tells us about the latest political headlines from Madison, while Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom has the update from D.C.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It was a very, very busy end of the week last week and a busy weekend of news. If you've been listening to this program for a while, you know that I am both a lawyer and an economist. And for a long time, as a baby lawyer, I worked for a very large, very fancy law firm in New York City. And many of our clients were banks, our country, the world's largest financial institutions. And what I can tell you about some of our world's largest financial institutions is that they're pretty good at analysis, at analyzing markets, at analyzing industries, at analyzing very specific companies. They do it, and they're very good at it, because that's how they make money. And what I've been thinking about a lot in recent weeks is the fact that almost uniformly, every week, a literal parade of Donald Trump lackeys will get on national news programs, whether that's on CNBC, Newsmax, Fox, MSNBC, or one of the Sunday news magazine programs, and lie about the economy. And they'll not only lie about it, what they'll say is, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Everyone else is mistrustful. But when you look at the incentives behind the people saying, believe me, but not these other folks, whether that's Donald Trump himself or his Commerce Secretary Howard Ludnick, the Nudnick, or Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, the incentives here should tell you who is more believable. Here are the incentives. Businesses and Wall Street and banks and financial institutions, they have every incentive to get their analysis correct, to make sure that their data that they crunch and the numbers, that all of that is right. Why? Because that's how they make their money. Chief executive officers, they have earnings calls every quarter, and they have every incentive to get it right, to not underplay risks or threats, but not to overplay them either. And why is this for a publicly traded company so important? Because if they are unreliable, shareholders won't buy their stock. Their stock will tank. They won't get their golden parachutes and they'll get fired. Their performance, for better or worse, is often measured by stock performance. And stock performance never can recover if a CEO is a notorious liar on earnings calls. So again, you look at the entire financial industry establishment. Whether you're talking about the CEOs that run quarterly earnings calls for a country's largest publicly traded corporations, or you're talking about the banks that are responsible for analyzing the performance of those very companies to help direct both their investments and their customers' investments. And that can even be extended to the folks that run our country and the world's largest hedge funds, folks like Ray Dalio. But Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, and Howard Lutnick, the Nudnik, Commerce Secretary, and Donald Trump, their incentives are purely political. Their incentive is to convince the American public that what they're experiencing in their daily lives, that housing remains unaffordable, that groceries continue to get more expensive, that the price of gas isn't coming down, that their kids' education, they're not sure if they'll actually be able to be gainfully employed in their particular industries or markets, or whether their kids will do better than them. These people get on national television every week and lie about it because their incentive structure has no fidelity to the truth. As an economist, I often will encourage folks to look where the incentive lies, and you will be able to determine behavior. So, when we look at what is being said by members of the Trump administration, their incentive structure is entirely political. If data does not fit their political objective, they have every incentive to lie. Whereas our country's largest financial institutions, banks, hedge funds, and yes, CEOs of businesses, when they talk about their performance, when they talk about their earnings, when they talk about whether or not particular economic policies are helping or hurting them, they don't get rewarded at all for lying. They lose jobs. They don't get rewarded for glossing the numbers or trying to pull one over on regular Americans, other than, you know, capturing all the benefit of those that do all the work. So they have every incentive to get it right, to do good analysis and tell the truth, because their very jobs and the success of their companies and their banks depend on it. And so with all of that as preview, and prequel, I want to talk about Scott Bessent's interview with Kristen Welker just yesterday on Meet the Press. Because the lies that this man is telling are so grossly irresponsible. And when they are put in contrast with the truths that are being told by CEOs, and by our country's largest financial institution, they are revealed for what they are. Nothing but imagined political rhetoric that amounts to a lie. So let us begin. Kristen Welker specifically asked Scott Bessent, Donald Trump's handpicked Treasury Secretary, about the reportings in this last quarter from John Deere, an equipment manufacturer essential to Wisconsin farming and agriculture and American farming and agriculture, about how it was performing. Let's take a listen to the exchange between NBC's Kristen Welker and Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent just yesterday.
The New York Times wrote this about John Deere, the impact the tariffs are having on that company. Quote, last month, John Deere said net income in its most recent quarter was down 29% from a year earlier. Higher tariffs have cost the company $300 million so far, with nearly another $300 million expected by the end of the year. This summer, the company laid off 238 employees across factories in Illinois and Iowa. What do you say to companies like John Deere who say these tariffs are hurting them?
Well, first of all, Kristen, if you're quoting the New York Times, that's not a fair observer. And two, that...
Well, but these are statistics.
This is
about John Deere, about the New York Times.
That's one company that they have cherry-picked. At Treasury, we have about two management teams come through a day, and overwhelmingly, we are hearing from companies they plan to increase CapEx, they plan to increase employment. We are seeing a record amount of foreign direct investment. And for every John Deere, we have companies who are telling us the tariffs have helped our business, we're increasing CapEx, and we're going to increase employment.
Again, what are the incentives here? Direct investment, that's foreign money coming in to invest in the companies. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for regular American workers, but okay, Scott, CapEx, that's capital expenditures and employment. Well, he's making promises about something that might happen in the future. Do you think the people that are being invited, cherry-picked to come through the Treasury Department might perceive that truth-telling to Scott Bessent, Ludnick, the Nudnik, and Donald Trump might be met with threats to fire you, like the CEO of Intel got threatened by Donald Trump? That targeted enforcement actions might happen if you don't go along with literally the party line on this? So, what did he say in response to John Deere says they fired 238 people? They're going to lose close to $1 billion this year. His response was, I don't believe it. And even if I did, I just don't think it's relevant. Tell that to the 238 Iowans and Illinoisans who lost their jobs. Tell it to the farmers who can't buy the farm equipment that they want, because the prices continue to explode. Tell that to the farmer that then doesn't have that piece of equipment or can't access the part to repair the John Deere equipment he already has because the prices are exploding because of the Donald Trump tariffs, when he can't harvest the crops that he's planted that he now can't sell to China because he grows soybeans, which are now being re-tariffed, in a trade war by China, and they've reestablished a relationship with soybean farmers in Brazil and other countries in South America. A farmer who next year won't be able to sell those same soybeans because, again, once that customer relationship is lost, it does not come back, who then loses his farm. But Scott Bessent says the New York Times is not a fair observer, and other people that come into my office are telling me different things. So then Kristen Welker asked him about some different data. We don't have time for that entire cut before we have to take care of some business here on this program. But I'm going to give that sound to you when we come back, because Kristen Welker, yesterday with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, pushed him on actual data, actual reports from our country's top-line CEOs, our country's largest publicly traded corporation, and our country's largest financial institutions, all of whom are saying this isn't working, that Donald Trump's tariff terror with no conceivable objective, no end in sight, no point other than the leveraging of power simply to leverage power. All of this is hurting businesses, and it's hurting consumers. And Scott Bessent and Ludnick the Nudnik and Donald Trump will continue to lie about it. Why? Because their incentive isn't to get it right. Their incentive is to make it work for Donald Trump's political ambitions. And those two things, when at odds, there's only one objective that they will ever give any fidelity to, right? If the data doesn't support Donald Trump's political ambitions, what level of confidence do you have? Honestly, if we're all being very candid here, what confidence level do you have that anyone in Donald Trump's nearest orbit, in his cabinet, would tell him that the data, that the facts on the ground, simply do not support the political argument that he's trying to make? My confidence level is zero, and we continue to explore why when it comes to the health of your family's bank account and the well-being of your children's financial futures. We continue this discussion on the other side. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big political news dropped the Friday before Labor Day weekend in Wisconsin, with right-wing state Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley announcing that she will not be seeking re-election to another 10-year term on the court. In her statement announcing the decision, Bradley bemoaned a, quote, shift from thoughtful, principled judicial service toward bitter partisanship, personal attacks, and political gamesmanship. If you followed Bradley's time on the bench, you couldn't help but note the hypocrisy in that statement, because that's the exact kind of extreme, toxic approach she's brought to the Wisconsin Supreme Court over the past decade. But beyond that, this sets up yet another open race for state Supreme Court in Wisconsin. This one, however, will be a bit different than recent races where majority control of the court was on the line. In this race, liberals will have the opportunity to expand their majority from 4-3 to 5-2 if candidate Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state legislator, wins the election in spring 2026.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I believe in good, sound data analysis that is objective, not predetermined, that I know that government agency data analysis needs to be the best in the world, that we shouldn't be litmus testing or testing folks that do data analysis on behalf of our country for political loyalty tests. That doesn't work. It doesn't help for good policy. And most importantly, I believe that people that advise presidents or mayors or county executives or governors, that they have an obligation to tell that elected official the truth about things, even when the facts, the data, the truth of the matter might be politically challenging. And the thing that scares me the most is that I don't think Donald Trump has anyone around him that is remotely courageous enough to tell him the truth. And the particular truth is this: Donald Trump's economic policies are failing. And we have yet to even begin to see the impact of those policies. Companies for the last 8-9 months have been trying to absorb the impact of tariffs, to not pass those along to customers, to do as much accounting and bookkeeping mechanics and movements as they can, to not pass those costs on to customers so they don't lose their customers, so they don't alienate the people that buy their products. But companies' abilities to do that, including Walmart, I dissected one of their earnings call just a couple weeks ago with economist Benga Angelore. From Walmart to John Deere, from Nike to Apple and others, they're all saying it's about to get worse, not better. And despite that, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent got on Meet the Press yesterday and just lied his butt off for about 30 minutes. First, NBC journalist Kristen Welker tried to ask him about what John Deere said, which was, we're going to lose probably northward of $600 million because of the tariffs, and we've laid off 238 employees. Scott Bessent's response was, well, I'm hearing different things, and the New York Times shouldn't be trusted. And then Kristen Welker said, it's not about the Times, it's about John Deere. And besides, beyond John Deere, many companies are very deeply concerned about the economic stagnation we're seeing. Donald Trump fired the last woman who put out a jobs report who led the Bureau of Labor Statistics in July. And yet the August jobs report was worse than the one in July, but he's got nobody to fire anymore, so how does he complain about that? Let's take a listen to this next exchange between Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and NBC journalist Kristen Welker yesterday on Meet the Press. Listen to how Scott Bessent dodges these questions and then blames everybody but the guy that's setting our country's economic policy. Take a listen.
But Mr. Secretary, it's not just John Deere. We've heard from a lot of different companies around the country. Nike says that tariffs will cost the company around $1 billion this year. Black & Decker says $800 million. The big three automakers all say they've had to pay more than $2 billion in tariffs. The list goes on and on. Bottom line, do you acknowledge that these tariffs amount to a tax on the American people?
Well, first of all, let's back up, because what we've seen, for instance, the Japanese automakers have said they're eating the tariffs. So,
but these companies say they're eating the tariffs. These American companies.
They're eating the tariffs. So, and again, there are numerous companies who are doing the opposite. You know, you're taking these from earnings calls, and on earnings calls, they have to give the draconian scenario. There aren't companies coming out and saying, oh, because of the tariffs, we're doing this.
That is just nonsense. His response to American companies are saying they're losing billions and billions of dollars, which means, by the way, to staunch that bleed, they're just going to have to charge their customers more if they haven't already. That's what all of this means. His response is, well, the Japanese companies, they're just eating the That has nothing to do with the point that she's trying to make. And then he says on earnings calls, they, apparently these companies, have to give the draconian scenario. No, and Scott Bessent knows this. An earnings call is where a CEO wants to be very clear in a publicly traded company. They don't want to give any inaccurate information because what? That's a securities violation. Their objective in an earnings call is to present an accurate picture of their company's financial health and their prospects in coming quarters. It's to inform shareholders in the market. And if they're facing headwinds, i.e. negatives, problems, they're going to be candid about it, as well as the mechanisms that that company has to deal with things like the terror of tariff policy with no articulated objective end state and no idea when they might end or under what circumstances or if it'll flip-flop tomorrow. That's not the incentive structure on an earnings call. It's not to be all doom and gloom. In fact, most CEOs work mightily to show upside potential in their companies during earnings calls. Why? Because the markets are listening. And if they said, as Scott Bessent would have regular Americans believe, that it's just, having to give the draconian scenario, what they'd be saying to the marketplace is start selling our stock. Our company is doomed. And CEO paid is tied to stock performance. So guess what they're not doing? Quote, going with the draconian scenario. It's not good for the CEO, and it would result to a sell-off in their stock. Scott Bessent used to run a hedge fund, and he damn well knows this. So what he's doing is lying to the American people. We've dissected earnings call on this show. We're going to dissect more of Scott Bessent's, the Treasury Secretary's, nonsense on the other side. And then I'm going to show you how this all relates up, again, to your family's financial health and, indeed, your family's physical well-being as well. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. Hang with us through the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back and finish up this important discussion on the other side. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Patrol is highlighting rail safety as its law of the month for September. According to a press release, about a dozen people are injured in train-related crashes in the state every year. Law enforcement officials are reminding residents of proper safety practices to navigate rail crossings, including not going around lowered crossing gates and not stopping on the tracks even when there's no train in sight. If your vehicle stalls on the tracks, you should get out immediately and look for a blue emergency notification system sign. State lawmakers have introduced new legislation that would require animal testing facilities and breeders to make pets they no longer need available for adoption. If passed into law, the proposed bill would create a 3-week window in which testing facilities and breeders would need to offer their unneeded animals that pose no public health or safety risk for adoption through an animal shelter or humane society. State-run testing facilities and higher education institutions would also be permitted to create their own adoption programs under the legislation. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of St. Croix County is inviting residents to a series of pop-up nutrition events this month. The first event will take place on Tuesday at Agave Togogo in Hudson from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. There will also be events at Ready Randy's in New Richmond on September 17th, the Baldwin Senior Center on September 18th, and the Wood City Tavern in Glenwood City from September 23rd to 25th. The pop-ups aim to share information on eating healthy foods, staying active, and additional resources with area seniors. Transportation officials are warning Stone Lake area residents of a pair of road closures this week. The closures are necessary for two culvert replacement projects in the area. The first closure will take place today on Metcalf Road to the west of Godfrey Lane from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. The other culvert replacement project will take place on Stony Brook Drive on the south end of Stone Lake on Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be no posted detours in the area during the construction projects, so residents should plan their routes accordingly. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Spike Lee's new film, Highest to Lowest, starring Denzel Washington, was supposed to be a wide release in theaters a couple weeks ago, but the game plan changed. Instead, it was released in a limited run, but is now available to stream. This is the fifth time Lee and Washington have worked together. Highest to Lowest is a thriller that tells the story of a music mogul played by Washington who is being ransomed. The film had its premiere at Cannes, but as of September 5th, you can now see it for free, sort of, if you have Apple TV. I recently discussed the kids' show Bluey on Nightlight with my Civic Media colleague, Stuart J. Waddles. During the interview, we talked about this great show that he watches with his kids. It's funny, sweet, and sort of hypnotic in moments. Well, Stuart, his kids, and all fans of Bluey will be happy to know there is a feature film version on the way. If you haven't seen Bluey, prepare to be dazzled. Disney and BBC have announced that it will hit the big screen August 6th of 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. A low tonight close to 60, high low 70s tomorrow. Highs climb up into the 80s by the later part of the week. It's 74 right now.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is time for you to be able to sound off. I've been talking about an absolutely mind-blowing interview yesterday between Kristen Welker on NBC's Meet the Press and Donald J. Trump's Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent. In it, Kristen Welker repeatedly provides Scott Bessent with very specific data and statistics about the economy slowing down, about businesses losing billions due to Donald Trump's incoherent, indefensible economic policies. And repeatedly, Scott Bessent's response is basically, I'm hearing different things. Does this sound familiar to anybody? People are saying, without naming the people or the statistic or the reliable economist who provides different analysis. There's simply no there in every rebuttal from Treasury Secretary Bessent. Just to refresh our recollections, she first brings up John Deere. And Scott Bessent says, for every John Deere, we have companies who are telling us the tariffs have helped our businesses. Again, without naming any names. Then she says, but it's not just John Deere that's going to lose $600 million and has fired 238 employees. It's Nike. It's Black & Decker. It's our three automakers, all of whom are reporting billion-dollar-plus losses due to Trump's taco tariff regime. And you know what he says? Well, on those earnings calls, they're just all doom and gloom. It's this draconian scenario. Again, folks, if CEOs lie on earnings calls, it's a securities violation. It can be a crime. CEOs on earnings calls are not incentivized to be like, oh, our business sucks. We're going under. It's very draconian. It's doom and gloom because people will start selling their stock, and that's not good for companies. And then we get to maybe one of the oddest rebuttals from Treasury Secretary Bessent to Kristen Welker's very specific citation of an analysis performed by Goldman Sachs, arguably the world's biggest, the United States' biggest, maybe most reliable bank analysis of the overall market and economy. And the Goldman report said that consumers had paid 86% of tariff revenues, and that will continue to grow throughout the rest of the year as businesses run out of creative ways to eat the early cost of the tariffs. And Scott Bessent had nothing really to say. It's weird, folks. Take a listen.
Hasbro says they're going to have to increase their prices. Goldman Sachs says 86% of the tariff revenue collected so far has been paid by American businesses and consumers. So just bottom line, Mr. Secretary, do you acknowledge that these tariffs are a tax on American consumers?
No, I don't.
Even though you have companies saying they are going to have to increase prices, and given the fact that 86% of these tariffs
you're quoting Goldman Sachs.
So yes, Goldman Sachs.
I made a good career trading against Goldman Sachs.
Okay, Mr. Secretary, so maybe it's not 86%. Maybe it's 40%. Maybe it's 45%. Maybe it's 15%. But what the hell does your trading record against Goldman Sachs have to do with whether or not customers are paying for Donald Trump's tariff terror? Nothing. His rebuttals to all of these statistics were, again, in order, well, that's not what some companies are telling us. And then, oh, they're just making it seem worse than it is, even though CEOs have absolutely no reason to do that in earnings calls. And then finally, well, I used to trade against them. All of which are either completely inaccurate, total lies, misleading, or just totally irrelevant. And then, ladies and gentlemen, and then the inevitable. Just trust us. Take a listen.
The markets lost more than $6 trillion in value. Was this disruption always part of the plan, Mr. Secretary?
Look, Chris, markets are organic, animals, and you never know what the reaction's going to be. One thing that I can tell you as the Treasury Secretary, what I've been very impressed with is the market infrastructure, that we had record volume on Friday, and everything is working very smoothly, so the American people, they can be very take great comfort in that.
Wow. Just trust us. By the way, we were seeing great trading volumes. Yeah, you had great trading volumes on Black Tuesday and other days when the market completely crashed. Tons of trading volumes where the trading volumes processed correctly, quickly and, quote, smoothly. Yeah, but the economy was still in free fall, you moron. Doesn't mean that we should take comfort in trading volumes or the fact that trades got processed smoothly. Does he think that the American working person who gets a paycheck, who has to try to save diligently for retirement, does he think we're all idiots? Does he think you're a moron? Because only somebody who thinks you're a moron would think that I've heard something from someone else that's somewhat different. They just say bad news. I used to trade against them and just trust us is a meaningful, substantive defense of this president's non-existent economic policy. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. CJ, my friend, I'm going to give you an uninterrupted 30 seconds because you always complain that I interrupt you. So 30 seconds. And I know that you're going to take issue with some of my characterizations, but I just want to start, if you can address CJ first. This problem with Scott Bessent on Meet the Press, he didn't answer anything. He didn't provide any detail. He didn't really respond to what we're seeing from some of our major companies, which is warning signs flashing.
Well, thanks, Maggie. Good to see you this weekend with a
you
bunch
too,
of
sir.
Your listeners, John and Gordy. Well, inflation happened 22%, and that's due to the Board of Labor and Statistics. 22% inflation under Joe Biden. Then the interest rates flew to what? The only way to reduce inflation is by raising interest rates, right? Well, Biden had to do that. Jerome Powell, if anybody's playing politics, even other board members from the Fed, Michelle Bowman and Christopher Waller, said we should have lowered interest rates 2 months ago because that's going to be a driving force in our economy. So what are interest rates? Have you ever tried to buy a home or a condo or buy anything right now? Well, the interest rates are high because of Joe Biden. And the promise for companies that he wanted to raise corporate taxes, campaigned on it, from 21% to 27%. What do you think that would do to the jobs? Well,
so I have a question. We can talk, and I think, you know, it's important to look at each of these items individually. I spend a lot of time talking about corporate tax rates. I spend a lot of time talking about actual minimum wage, what a surviving wage is, how to approach those things. But I just want to talk about the quality of Treasury Secretary Bessent's appearance. Do you think that his appearance on Meet the Press would allay any reasonable Americans' concerns or any investors' concerns about how our companies are performing and whether or not consumers are seeing the impact of tariffs and the prices that they pay for everyday goods? I just don't think he did. If his objective was to calm the markets, calm customers, calm consumers, I don't think what he did does that at all. I think it shows a woeful lack of understanding about how Donald Trump's economic policies are impacting regular people. You can say Biden was worse, but I'm just saying right now, Scott Bessent isn't successful in defending Donald Trump's economic policy. He looks like someone who doesn't know anything about much of anything at all.
You got to give reasons for companies to come here, and you got to make it competitive. That's exactly what Donald Trump is doing.
No, he's not. What we're hearing from, again, these are the statistics from Kristen Welker. Thanks so much, CJ. Gave you a ton of time. I appreciate you calling in. Good to see you, friend, this weekend at a listener appreciation event hosted by WMDX. Kristen Welker, these are companies that are here, that have manufacturing here. They don't need to be brought here. They're already here. And Donald Trump's economic policies are costing them billions, which they're saying they're going to now pass those increase in costs on to U.S. customers. Black & Decker, America's big three automakers, Nike, John Deere, all of these companies. Home Depot is reported similarly. Goldman Sachs, Hasbro, a toy company. I mean, pick your thing. Any consumer good, it's costing more than it did before. And frankly, when the Fed starts bringing down interest rates because the economy is completely stalled and we're no longer adding any jobs, and the Fed is rightly worried about an economy who's had the brakes applied, you know, that's not a good situation to be in, that interest rates are coming down because employers are no longer hiring people. That's a terrible situation to be in for the U.S. economy. Thanks so much, CJ, and thanks so much to everybody for the feedback on the text line. I just want to highlight a couple of things, a couple of feedback we've got. Jim from Appleton says this: I find it strange that Scooter, i.e. Scott Bessent, can't name a single company that says they're doing great as a result of the tariffs. It's just a bunch of not what I'm hearing, and other companies say different. Who? What companies are saying that? Put some stuff on the bones. Put some meat on the bones. Name names. I agree with you, Jim. I think this is really weak. This is not how you make the working person in the United States who's struggling to make ends meet feel any more confident about our economy. Mark from Prairie du Sac said this: Bessent, like so many, is auditioning for the governor's role in a new version of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. What he's talking about is one of the new Fed governor appointments that may become available. Those are typically 10-year appointments unless you invent totally spurious bases with which to fire people like Donald Trump did with Lisa Cook and call that cause, even though Ken Paxton, oh yeah, and apparently the guy who's been sounding the alarm on all of these claims of mortgage fraud, the very person that's been making those claims, half of his family, it appears, also have mortgages on more than one building that they claim as primary residences. Weird, huh? How that works. When we come back, I am going to turn the page and talk a little bit about Packers football and some of my mixed feelings that I've got going into this football season as an old has-been athlete fast approaching, if not in, middle age. Keep it locked. Talk a little local sports when we come back on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. A shared message from the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A big win for water protections at the State Court of Appeals. The court tossed out a lawsuit that had been filed by lobbying groups on behalf of some very large dairies known as CAFOs. If successful, the suit would have undermined a critical state water protection program that helps keep untreated animal waste out of Wisconsin's waterways and drinking water. The legal fight over the Line 5 oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin is moving to Madison. A judge is set to hear from a series of experts who will testify about significant long-term risks of the plan to build a new 41-mile segment of the pipeline. Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to clear trees, dig trenches, blast through bedrock, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin to make way for the new segment. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Rudin, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sensen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have some absolutely outstanding interviews coming up this week and next for you, and we kick off this big, big run of some real marquee interviews with an interview tomorrow. We will be hosting Stacey Abrams, the one and the only Stacey Abrams, tomorrow evening live at 5:30. You are not going to want to miss this interview. We talk about her new book, her appearance at Idea Fest here in Madison in the state of Wisconsin. She's going to be in our state providing remarks. We're going to talk about all of that and how do we actually build a coalition of good faith Americans and Wisconsinites that agree on the outcomes that we want to see, which is, very simply put, for every family, good education, safe streets, and meaningful work that allows you to be paid a wage that enables you to take care of your family and yourself, afford health care, maybe even a vacation, to retire with some dignity, you know, that we observe the social contract. if you're willing to work hard, at least 40 or 50, whatever we say, hours a week, you should be able to live in dignity in this country. We're going to talk with Stacey about how to make that come true and how to help voters get re-engaged and find the things that we have in common with each other to advocate for the policies that actually help working folks and people that have bosses and get paychecks and don't just sit around getting wealthy off their wealth that they may have inherited. You get what I'm saying. So Stacey, tomorrow, 5:30, be there or be square. I cannot wait. I am nervous as well about it. So again, that's tomorrow at 5:30. Really excited about that. Wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about Wisconsin sports. Big, big weekend for everybody. Feeling really good. Brewers completing a sweep against the Pittsburgh Pirates with Jacob Mizorowski being absolutely dominant yesterday, gritted it through seven innings, a career high, 108 pitches in a dominant 10-2 victory over the Pirates. The magic number for the Brewers to guarantee that they will win and clinch the National League Central is 12 games, whether it's other teams losing like the Cubs or the Brewers winning. We got to get 12 games to clinch the National League Central. The magic number to get to the first round by is basically 12 and maybe plus minus a little bit, but we've got to clinch the NL Central first. And to get that by, we've got to end up with a better record than the LA Dodgers. We are 34 games above 500 at 89 wins and 55 losses, 7.5 games in front of the dastardly Chicago Cubs. So watch this space. It's going to be a really exciting closeout to the baseball season. And with that, let's talk a bit about the Packers. Big home opener at Lambeau against the Lions. We hadn't had a home opener in Lambeau since 2008, meaning first game of the season at home since 2018, not 2008. And it's only the third time in the last 13 seasons where we faced the Detroit Lions in our opener. So big, big outing. The big two questions on my mind was, how is Jordan Love going to do under the bright lights and all the pressure? And how is Micah Parsons going to do? We just made a massive trade with the Dallas Cowboys right before the season began. And the answer to that is they did extremely well. I think a lot of good things for the Packers to be really excited about after yesterday's game. They're going to play the Commanders. Quick turnaround. They got a Thursday night football game against the Washington Commanders at 7:15. And I'm going to talk more about this issue later this week, if not early next. And that is really taking a clear-eyed view of what we are endorsing and the complexity of endorsing, whether through buying a jersey or going to a game or just watching NFL football. Because, again, many of you have been listening to this show. You know that I played rugby for years. My team won a national championship when I was in college, Marquette University in 1997. And what I can tell you is that some of the women that I played with that went on to have long rugby careers who were that good, I'm now in my late 40s. Some of them are experiencing pretty significant cognitive issues. And this season, I don't know why, but it was challenging for me. Because I know most professional football players would say it's worth whatever the consequence for my brain and my body might be for me to play the sport that I love so much and to potentially make caboodles of money doing it. But we are basically paying through our eyeballs and the advertising dollars that the NFL creates, we are deciding that we are going to, through our fandom, pay men to turn their brains and their bodies into mush for our entertainment. And if blood sport at any level sort of strikes us as a little odd and maybe not where we think we should be, this is just blood sport at a very long and slow, drawn out pace. I've been doing a little digging on some of the numbers behind all of that, and I'm going to present those to you in the coming weeks as we dig into this football season. But it is complicated. And as most thing on this program, we always try to get into those complicated elements of these issues. Thanks for being with me today. I'll be back tomorrow with that amazing Stacey Adams. Stacey Adams. Abrams. Brain is turning off early. Stacey Abrams interview at 5:30 tomorrow. Thanks to Jacob for that help out. Thanks to all of you for being with me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dugleski. The White House officials are firing back at a newly released letter that appears to show President Trump's signature on a 2003 birthday gift to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. They say it's not the president's signature. Community leaders say federal agents conducted at least three immigration arrests on the southwest side of Chicago this weekend. It comes as the Trump administration says it plans to step up federal enforcement there in the coming days. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Chicago.
Tall fencing up outside the building telling you that they are expecting more protests over the days to come. This after the president spent the weekend really zeroing in on Chicago, talking about both the city's crime problems as well as illegal immigration. The president even posting a manipulated image on social media, writing, I love the smell of deportations in the morning, a play, of course, off the movie Apocalypse Now.
This is